Celebrating the life of Broncos owner, Pat Bowlen. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Well, sad news last night as Pat Bowlen passed away. I know everybody's been talking about it all day, so it'd be good to get some of your feedback. 303-713-1043. Going to have Dan Reeves on here shortly. Tommy, what's your reaction to the sad news about Pat Bowlen?
I know we touched on it. We had a feeling that this was coming down, and I'm thinking about it, and the dude lived a fantastic life for the better part of 65 years and owned an NFL team, did it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
He's not suffering anymore. His family doesn't have to, the worry, I guess, is gone. So it's almost a, not celebration. We were celebrating his life for sure, but it's not like a sadness, because when I left the Broncos in 2008, and the next time I saw Mr. Bowlen was in 2013, it wasn't Mr. Bowlen anymore.
Right.
So I don't know. I talked about him yesterday and what he meant to me. My wife, she goes, do you remember he used to send, Mr. Bowlen would send flowers when you had a child. He would, like Rose Medical Center, when we had kids there, he sent flowers. He was very thoughtful, little things.
Mm-hmm. Because he didn't meddle in football.
No.
So,
and he was.
But he took his employees' well-being seriously.
If you could take the fur coat wearing Pat Bowlen out of your mental image of him,
yeah,
he was very introverted. And you can see it in the two iconic Denver Bronco Super Bowls were 32 and 50.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Bowlen immediately deferred to shift the focus from me immediately to John Elway.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to John Elway, when he got the trophy and hoisted it, he said, this one's for Pat.
Yeah.
But he prefaced it by saying he wouldn't want me to say this. It was never about him.
Yeah.
It was about the team. And I think I was looking back at pictures and pictures of the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl win. And okay, he's in the locker room, and he looked like he just almost wanted to blend in, like be one of the guys as opposed to the owner of the
mm-hmm.
team.
Mm-hmm.
I know being an NFL owner is you're a public figure and all of that. And that's not the purpose, I don't think, of him buying the team. It wasn't a hobby. He wanted to create a winning franchise.
What was his presence like on the field before games?
Nervous.
Did you like seeing him down on the field?
And he
was on the field, right? He came around.
Right. Yeah,
took hands.
He was allowed to.
Yeah.
It was his field. But he...
But was it a welcome sight for...
Yeah, he was a cool dude. He was just... He wasn't... I know he was the owner in my mind, but he didn't strike you as the owner. Mm-hmm. And he'd also come down to the sideline every fourth quarter to watch the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd see him standing there with his brother, and they'd be just basically fans.
Be a welcome presence.
Yeah.
A good part of the routine. Win or lose?
Oh, win or lose. I mean, you could tell, you didn't have to look at the scoreboard. You didn't have to watch the game. You just needed to see his face after a game, and you know how the game went.
Mm.
But it's just, I was thinking about it, like, I don't know how the fans see him. And I'd love to get that perspective from the fans.
303-713-1043. Welcome it.
Because I only saw him as my employer. But I was thinking, well, he was my employer, but it's like you have the boss of this radio station coming in, asking how you're doing every day.
Mm-hmm.
He was so far up, but he wanted to be so far down. He didn't have to come in the training room and check on guys and give me a little Denise reminded me of this during one of my off-season surgeries in January, February. He was there. He's usually would go to Hawaii, but he was there and he came over and, you know, it's February. It's not only dark outside, but it's dark inside because you're just so sad. You're there by yourself. And he kind of gave me a little, you know, pick me up, you know, how you doing? And he didn't have to say much for you to feel good about yourself. But right. He was very introverted as far as an owner goes.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that about him. That it was, man, a few words, that sort of stuff. Kind of shy. I've heard him described as actually shy.
Unless he got to know you. Because he was not shy every Friday morning when they were picking college football games in Greek's office. He was, you know, talking smack and having fun in there. But those were guys he was, you know, he felt comfortable being around. But he was very down to earth. He called 2007, and I'm on injured reserve with I tore my bicep. Mm-hmm. And he called a meeting of some players over to John Lynch's house. This is the year we went 7-9, and he wanted to get the player's perspective of what he can do better, what's the problem. He wanted to stop a 7-9 season from happening.
Mm.
Whatever he could do, he said, "I, you know, Shanahan's not going." This is 2007. He goes, "Shanahan's not going anywhere. I just signed him to a. He just had extended his contract."
Yeah,
in 2007.
That wasn't quite true, was it?
Well, for the after 2000, maybe there were whispers at the time that Mike wasn't going to be the coach after that season, and he wanted to put that to rest for that season and say, you know, what do I need to do to help you guys? I don't know how many owners would do that. Meet at a player's house with four or five guys and just kind of talk football to get their perspective.
Do you remember what some of the perspective was?
I don't know. Whatever we gave them didn't help because we ended up losing anyways.
But at least you felt like there was an open line of communication.
Absolutely.
All right, we got a bunch of calls. Dan Reeves joins us in a little bit, but we can get some perspective from the fans. Matt, you're on the fan. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, just want to say, it's how fortunate I feel to be a Broncos fan. It's kind of an easy thing. You know, you hear people from out of state and they're fans of other states and go, man, that kind of sucks. I was just fortunate to grow up here and I was a Broncos fan. So I just feel very fortunate that he was our owner and the team's been so successful. And I thought to encourage him with the family. And I hope that this kind of forces the trust to really accelerate the decision process. And I, as a fan, I just would really like to see the ownership situation return to a stable level, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the fortunate part, and the fans are fortunate to have been Bronco fans, and I was fortunate enough to be drafted by the Broncos, and it's the only organization I knew. So I got lucky. I guess fans that grew up in the Rocky Mountain region were lucky because that's where you grew up.
You know, it's funny, interesting hearing that, not funny, but interesting hearing that call, that it does feel to me the fan base does want the team to stay in the Bolin family. It does feel like that. It feels like this is part of their growing up, they're used to it, and they would like to see that continue.
I think because they know their dad best and know what the team meant to him. I mean, he when he bought the team, he had a lot of different business interests.
Yeah.
But by the end, it was just the Broncos. He didn't have any more real estate. Yep. He didn't have any more restaurants, anything like he wasn't practicing law anymore.
He was all in.
He was all in about Denver Broncos. That's all I do.
Let's go to Dean, and Dan Reeves will join us in just a couple of minutes. Hi, Dean. You're on the fan.
Hi. How are you guys? And thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have a story. When I graduated high school and all I wanted to do was work for the Broncos. I wasn't an athlete. So I got a job cleaning the stadium after the games. And that wasn't a very fun job, but I enjoyed it because I was at the stadium. And one day I'm cleaning the seats. I'm sweeping and cleaning the seats. And all of a sudden this gentleman appears out of nowhere, like just like he appeared. And he goes, "Hey, young man, how you doing?" I said, I'm doing great. And he goes, are you doing 100%? I said, I'm doing more than 100%. I'm doing the best job I can. And he said, keep it up. And thank you for all your help. And that was it. That was the conversation. Turns out it was Pat Bowlen. He was in the stands. I mean, that's the kind of guy he was, you know? And see, I was flabbergasted, to be honest with you, when I found out who he was.
See, Dan, I think he was more comfortable talking to just regular people. I think that's who he was. He talked to offensive linemen. They didn't have to.
Well, that's a cool story. You know, I do know that all the adult children were there last night, and a couple were traveling, so it wasn't the easiest of things for everybody to be there. So I think that's good, because I think there's a sense that the adult children are fractured, and, you know, they sat down, just the seven of them, just to talk about stuff. That happened. And we'll see what kind of impact that has moving on in the future. But I was certainly happy, Tom, to hear that, because Annabelle's not in a good way these days either, by the way, which is incredibly sad. But they were all able to have a moment together before he passed, which is good to know. And, you know, there'll be plenty of time to hash out what happens in the future. But at least for a moment, and they'll be, you know, together through whatever the services are and however that's going to roll out. You know, everybody puts their time on hold a little bit to pay tribute to their dad. It's a positive thing. In a certain way, you know, he was really, really in bad shape. You know what I mean? Like, to a certain degree, I think the family is just, it's like, it is a somewhat of a relief.
Right. It's not the dad they knew.
No.
It's not the owner
and
I knew.
Who wants to see somebody you love suffer so much, right? Dan Reeves joins us. Coach, thank you so much for being on with us today. What are your feelings about hearing about the passing of Pat Bowlen?
Well, you know, sorry, and certainly want to extend, you know, my condolences and my thoughts and prayers out to Annabelle and the rest of the Bowlen family. Pat was, a great person. A great owner, a great friend, you know, but like you said, you know, you don't like to see, you know, somebody go through what Pat has had to go through, you know, the latter stages of his life here. And, you know, so the pain is over there. There's, you know, certainly the sorrow and the pain that we all feel, but also, you know, feeling that, you know, that pain is gone now. So,
Coach Reeves, you were there for the transition from ownership, a change with Mr. Bowlen. What kind of differences were there between when Mr. Bowlen, you know, started taking ownership of the team between him and Kizer?
Well, Edgar did a good job. You know, he was a good owner and gave you everything that you needed. And you know, Pat just kind of took it to another level. He came in and, not knowing anything about it at the particular time and was told that, you know, I just sold a team, want you to meet the new owner. And my first thought, you know, was that certainly if you're a new owner, you want to make some changes. And you know, I figured, you know, you certainly have a coach in mind. But Pat assured me that he wanted me to be his coach, and he gave me everything I could possibly ask for. You know, as a head coach, anything I needed, Pat, you know, would help you do it. And he also came up with some great ideas to try to, you know, help make us better. Some, you know, just common sense type things that, you know, certainly helped us as a franchise to be better, helped us with facilities, all the things that, help you recruit, you know, better players and so forth, particularly through free agency. And, you know, I think he did a great job of, you know, helping the league move forward with some of his innovative, you know, thoughts and ideas.
What was the style of communication you had with Pat?
Well, Pat, hired you to do a job. He wanted to know what was going on and everything, but, he let you run, and do your job and gave you any kind of support. Wanted to know if you needed any help, you know, you need anything as far as coaching or, you know, changes and so forth. He was very much involved as far as, you know, making sure that we had the best facilities, making sure we had the best travel situation, make sure we stayed at the, you know, nicest facilities. He did everything that he could as an owner to try to help you be successful and, you know, left the football operation, you know, in your hands.
As a new owner, was he coming to you for suggestions? Was he going to you for advice on what he should do?
Well, you know, we work together. I mean, I think that's what you know, you do. You work together. Pat certainly came into the thing, you know, and let you know immediately. I don't know a lot about, you know, football, and I want to learn, you know, as much as I possibly can. But he also wanted to know, you know, what was going on. And from a situation of running a business and everything, I learned an awful lot, you know, from Pat. But I think more than anything, Pat wanted to give you everything you possibly could to be successful, you know, as a coach, but also as a franchise, you know, to do everything you could to make the Broncos the best, you know, club in the NFL.
Coach, I did read a story where you shared details about when Pat did let you go and how difficult that whole process was. But you at least the story I read, you knew it was coming and you had a sense it was coming and that it was done as best as it could happen. Is that about right?
No question. I mean, I told Pat, you know, when he came in and he, you know, wanted to make a change, I said, Pat, you know, look, the worst part of my job is letting somebody go that's helped me, you know, win football games and, you know, you're telling them that I want to make a change. And that was the worst part of my job as a head coach, you know, was releasing players each and every year. And I said, I understand. You know, I just want to thank you for giving me the great opportunity that you did. You could have made some, you know, changes when you bought the club, but, you know, you stayed here and, you know, I'll always be grateful for, you know, the opportunities that you gave me. So, yeah, I mean, it was difficult for Pat, and I knew that, and I tried to make it as easy as I could for him, but it's not easy to make, you know, changes in anything,
right.
But you got to do what you think is best for your, you know, for your organization.
Did you give any input into your successor in Wade Phillips with Pat?
No, I think, you know, certainly Wade was, you know, had some experience as being a head coach and so forth. And I think I was, you know, certainly, I can't remember. He may have asked me, but, you know, certainly, you know, Wade was very capable of, you know, handling the situation.
Well, Coach, do you have anything else you'd like to pass along to the fans of Denver?
No, as I said, you know, just Annabelle and the entire, you know, Bowling family. My condolences and my thoughts and prayers go out and hope we're going to all miss him. And he was just a great man, a great owner, a great friend. And, you know, we're going to miss him.
Well, we really appreciate your time. Thank you, Coach Dan Reeves.
Yeah. All right, you bet. Thank you.
All right. There's an interesting transition point from one owner to another with Dan Reeves to, you know, inheriting John Elway, who was already here when Pat Bowlen bought the team.
But and Coach Reeves' words took it to a next level.
Yeah, but there was definitely some weird moments with Coach Reeves and John Elway. And, you know, and then, you know, I read a story today where, although Wade Phillips was hired, it really was just a waiting place.
Stopgap.
Yeah, for who he really wanted, which was Mike Shanahan. So, interesting transition period. Going from one owner to another is never a, you know, I would just assume if I'm the coach, I'm out the door. But, you know, Pat Bowlen had to make a big decision. Things were rocky between Elway and Reeves. And, you know, that is where you need strong ownership, Tommy, to make big decisions. Not Mickey Mouse little decisions.
Right. You see your star player and head coach just friction for so long and eventually
can't have it.
They were together for a number of years and it just wasn't working anymore.
And you as the owner have to decide the path. That's the really big decision.
got to remember when Mr. Bolin let Mike Shanahan go, he was at the press conference tearing up talking about Mike Shanahan.
That was one of the craziest days in my 30 years of broadcasting I've ever been part of. Because, first of all, it was the last time Mr. B just took open questions. Like, just, what do you got? And he spoke for an hour. I mean, an hour. Answering all sorts of questions and that. And then Mike comes right down the stairs. And then Mike's there for an hour. Tommy, it was crazy. You kind of couldn't believe it was happening. You know, that these two guys who have been around each other so long, that this was actually happening.
But again, it's the owner. He's the one that makes those tough decisions.
The disappointment was, you know, you probably did make the right decision. It's just that you followed the right decision with a wrong decision, which was difficult because it was so insane what Josh McDaniels put everybody through. So that was disappointing, you know, and but to their credit, again, to their credit, they didn't make everybody suffer more than they had to. And they moved on from Josh.
Right. Two years with Wade, 2 years with Josh, 2 years with VJ.
Yeah, you kind of lick your wounds. We made a mistake. We move on. You don't sit there and try to force that, you know, square peg through the round hole. It's just, this isn't right. We're moving on. And a great hire with John Fox. And that, you know, there was a communication issue with him and Elway near the end. And it was great to get Kubiak here for the time that he was here. Won him a Super Bowl.
I guess 2 years with Kubiak, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's different, though, because he would have been here as long as he really wanted to, though, right? I mean, no.
Well,
maybe
if he adjusted his staff.
Who knows? He was loyal to a fault, that Gary Kubiak. No doubt about it. All right, I love that we have full lines and great reaction on the text line. So this will be cool. We'll get some more of your reaction to the news of the passing of Pat Bolin, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Remembering the great Broncos owner, Pat Bolin. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Well, good to hear from Dan Reeves. We've heard from some interesting people throughout the day. Here is Mike Shanahan on why Pat Bolin was so great.
You know, that's why he was such a great owner. He let you do your job. He expected you to do your job. You know, he wanted to have the top in every phase of his organization. He knew that there was a standard, and he had to meet that standard. And the only way you're going to separate yourself from just being good, being in the playoffs, going to Super Bowls and winning Super Bowls, is to develop that standard that could separate you from the rest of the pack. And he expected you to do your job and expected you to have people that would do their job and be the best at it as they possibly could be. And he just lived that way. And that was the way he was. He was a shy guy, but a very, very passionate guy, and just loved the guy.
We'll hear more from TD and Rod Smith and more from Mike Shanahan just a little bit, too.
A lot of owners, you can own a team. When I got here and talked to guys a couple years in, guys would kind of open up about other teams they played for. In Minnesota, they had showers that were timed. There was like a clock. You can only take a shower for so long.
Wow.
Arizona, or at the time it was the Phoenix Cardinals, were notorious. The Bidwells were notorious for being cheap. I mean, there were so many stories about
owners. It's like Moneyball with the dollar for sodas, that sort of thing,
yeah.
Huh?
So Pat Bolin could have bought the team in 84 and just been happy making making TV deals and things like that, and expanding the revenue stream for the NFL and just using that to line his pockets, because there are owners that do that. But he put everything he got back into the team. There was always something going on at the facility in the off season, meaning some sort of project,
yeah.
Whether it was the locker room, the bathroom, when the bubble blew down in the 90s.
I remember that, yeah.
The next year, there was this brand new workout facility with an sort of indoor field.
You know, he was there. One of his last public outings was breaking ground on the field house a few years ago. He's out there with a shovel, and he didn't really speak or anything, but he was out there. And, you know, to your point, There's been a progression.
The training room has been expanded, and I don't know how, because the footprint of the actual facility part of the building hasn't changed all that much. They did kind of bump out where John's office is, mm-hmm. overlooking that wasn't there before. But for the most part, the building is not changed footprint at all. But for some reason, it seems bigger every time you go there. What? The training room and the weight room, which used to be, the cafeteria was the weight room.
Yeah.
Well, the weight room moved over to the new building, and that became the cafeteria. Things right. have always moved. It was every year there was something new. He was
getting
always
better.
Improving.
Yeah. Just stuck in that stupid
instead
bubble.
Instead of just...
For a long time, unfortunately.
You're talking about the other bubble.
Family sports bubble.
But yeah. That was because the other bubble at the facility blew down,
right.
which
right.
is where that field house is now. Not the field house, but the weight room part of it.
Let's go to Chaz. Hey, Chaz, you're on the fan. What's up, Chaz?
Hey, thanks for having me. I was a bowling detractor at first. The Beaver Code and Oregon Shelf Owners.
Chaz, I'm going to put you on hold. Hey, can you pick up Chaz and just tell him to get on the, maybe off the speakerphone? We'll go right back to him, though. Shannon, hey, Shannon, you're on the fan.
Tom, I'm going to try to answer your question coming from a fan standpoint. I'm 41 years old. We've been season ticket holders since I was a kid. And Mr. Bolin, to us and our family, was pretty much, he was a Bronco fan that happened to own the team. He was the biggest fan there was. And I hope people realize, you know, the younger generation, how lucky we truly are in Denver to have such a great owner. Mm-hmm. He put winning first. It wasn't about the bottom line. And, you know, going back on his character, I've never, ever heard one ex or former player ever badmouth Mr. B. I've never heard anything bad said about him. So I'll keep it short and sweet. God bless the Bolin family, our Denver Broncos, and condolences to the family and to our great state.
Well said.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Well
Shannon.
Said. He was a fan that happened to own the team.
He didn't
know much about football to begin with.
Well,
but he just fell in love with the team and the city and the sport.
Yeah. I mean, he's a Canadian businessman.
As a player, I sometimes when people pass, you know, nobody says anything negative, but I was there for 15 years and I've never heard anyone say anything bad about the man. And coming from other teams, guys would be like, you don't know how good you have it here. You know, you might think the grass is always greener,
mm-hmm.
but guys that came from other teams, that's when you know the truth. Because if you just play for the Broncos, you can't really appreciate what you have in the owner. But everybody loved coming here.
Let's go to Scott. Hey, Scott, you're on the fan. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to say, you know, I moved here when I was 5 years old, and I fancy myself a native, even though I'm not. And one of the things I've grown up knowing is all of us identify by orange and blue just as much as we identify by the state flag or anything else. And I think there's only four or five franchises in the league that the fan base feels the same way. You know, the Steelers, maybe the Pats, teams like that. But I grew up walking around the city knowing just as many people that wanted to wear orange and blue as they did wanting to wear blue and white and red and yellow, which, you know, and I think that's a testament to a team that's run by an owner that knows what they're doing and know what the team means to the city beyond just making money. So anyways, I think that's important.
Okay. Thank you, Scott.
I think he made it easy for fans to be proud of the product. The team they cheered for. It was never anything. He mentioned the Patriots, and the first thing that comes to mind with the ownership there is the day spa. that's what I think of now. He never, Mr. Bolin never did anything outside of wearing a fur coat on the sideline that seemed to, you know, ruffle people's feathers. He didn't do any he didn't do anything to embarrass.
Your memories of Robert Kraft are the days, Pop.
Is it not? What I think of Jerry Jones is
what
he came into the first thought of Jerry Jones. We were playing at Dallas Texas Stadium, and Leon Lett was on the Broncos at the time. And after the game, it may have been Thanksgiving. Jerry Jones comes in our locker room, and I was like, oh my gosh, he had a complete, like, a plastic surgery. He looked completely different. That's what I think of Jerry Jones is his plastic surgery when he came into the locker room and the fact that he didn't have proper toilets working in the locker room.
It's a great legacy for Jerry Jones.
That's what I think.
It does tick me off. And I know Mr. B's been out of it for a while. It does tick me off that Jerry Jones and Bobby Bethard both went into the Hall of Fame before Pat Boland. That is, that's something. Okay, more of your calls. It's great to have your reaction on the RamosLaw.com text line, or you can call. We'd love to take your reaction today. 303-713-1043 at Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
In celebration of the incredible life of Broncos owner Pat Bowlen, here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and Dean.
Terrell Davis.
The first year that we were kind of running up to a Super Bowl, it was about, you know, John Elway getting his first championship. And, you know, I remember thinking not only during that season, like, you know, obviously John would be great to give John a championship, but it would be also great that if Pat can get his first one. And so, you know, we had a lot at stake when we played the Packers in that Super Bowl. And, you know, when we won that thing, it was a relief not only to get John his first, but, you know, to get Pat his. And not only this, and then that, the city of Denver. So it was, I felt real good about that. You know, that was kind of something that we all got together. It was like, hey, let's make sure we send Mr. B out, because I know he's been there a few times and he hasn't won it, but to get him that first championship, you can sense the relief on his shoulders and the fact that he was, you know, he was really, obviously he was excited about that. And so that felt good for us as players to be able to give a winner like Pat Bowlen, who's given us so much, who's put us in position to make sure the Broncos ran like a first-class organization. We got everything we needed to be successful, and to be able to reward him for that was really fun for us.
There you go, huh?
Yeah, he was just he wanted, as the owner, he's the one that puts in the money and all of that, and he did whatever he felt was the right thing to do. But at the end of the day, he didn't want it about him. It never was about him.
You know, it's funny. You know, he went through the losing of the Super Bowls. You know, the three losses before you guys finally won. You didn't go through that. TD didn't go through that. John went through it for sure. I'm trying to think how many guys on your Super Bowl winning teams had gone through some of the Super Bowl losses.
Like Tyrone Braxton. Did Atwater go through one, maybe?
Maybe.
89 when he's a rookie. I mean, here in Denver, you're talking?
Yeah.
Okay. There wasn't many left from those mid to late 80s teams.
But Pat had gone through them.
Yep.
John had gone through them. Painful. So, a different approach. Well, you didn't know any different, right? You come in, you're on the team. This is just what happens, right? Pretty first class all the way through.
It did change. It changed after Mike got here, though. There was definitely, like, when Dan Reeves said that he ratcheted up a notch when between Kaiser and Bowlen, but when Shanahan got here, things changed from the food we ate to how we traveled. I talked about it yesterday, how we traveled, all of that stuff. He just put in more money into it.
Because Mike was asking for it.
Right. But he stayed out of it. I don't know what the conversations were like. I think it was just a bunch of yeses. Mike could have asked for anything. But you're talking about Jerry Jones and yeah, back to the Hall of Fame. I think sometimes the Hall of Fame can be about perception and everybody knows who Jerry Jones is.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of Denver, very few fan bases could name, outside the AFC West, very few fan bases could name the owner of the Broncos prior to him being named to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
It wasn't something he sought. I think he would be embarrassed by it. he's certainly earned it.
You know, I know the NBA championship was decided last night. You were right about Klay Thompson, by the way. Gotta give you props on that. But when I woke up and I've been watching all the shows, there's been nothing about Pat Bowlen on these national shows. Nothing.
No, but had Jerry Jones passed. It'd
been front page
right.
news. So Robert Kraft passed.
The Hall of Fame is... I can see how that happened, how Jerry Jones got in before Mr. Bowlen. Mm. But Mr. Bowlen wasn't going to be able to enjoy it if he was inducted in 2016 before Jerry Jones. He wouldn't have been able to enjoy it.
No, but it's still, it feels like...
He was wronged a little bit?
A little bit, yeah. It just feels like he's going to go in anyway. I don't know.
But do you understand my point is Jerry Jones' name versus Pat Bowlen's name?
Yeah.
In the circle, the NFL circle and fans and all of that.
Yeah. Where's the news about Pat Bowlen today? Where is it? Where is it on SportsCenter? Where is it on? I mean, I saw it on ESPN.com. It's like the last story of their like nine stories of the day. It was like story nine. Does feel a little disrespectful.
He's,
I'm not gonna
he's
lie.
Been overlooked.
Yeah.
And he was integral in Sunday Night Football and the TV revenue and the players making money today have owners like Pat Bowlen to thank because the players get paid on the TV money. And he's not only is he making a deal for the owners, but he's making it for the players as well. Because the more money he gets for TV deals, the more the players get.
Let's go to Paul. Hi, Paul. You're on the fan. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Tom, I just want to thank you personally for your part in helping bring Super Bowl home to us way back when. Seems like a long time ago, but as I think about it, I can recollect it like it was yesterday. I'm one of those fans that have been through all four Super Bowls. I was here for the Phipps brothers, and although they wanted to win, they didn't just have the resources to go out and get big names or convince them to come here. I believe that Kaiser kind of just flipped the team organization and walked away with some millions. But when I found out that our new owner was already a triathlete, I knew that he had the athletic spirit in him and the want to win and the willingness to do anything it takes to win because triathletes are a special kind of breed of people. So with that said, I just want to send my condolences out to the family. And the thing that struck me the most about him through all the years is that when it was finally time, he didn't give it to his oldest boy. He didn't give it to his favorite child. He said, look, whichever one of my children go out and earn it, that's who it's going to. And to me, that says everything I need to know about the man. So with that said, I just want to send my heartfelt condolences. And I met him once in Greeley during training camp 1 year, and he treated us, every one of us, like we knew him already. And so with that said, I just want to say the city feels for him and his family, and we're going to move forward and bring back another Super Bowl for him. And with that said, I'm just going to go ahead and let you guys go. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate the call. Nice. All right. More reaction to the passing of Pat Bowlen. We'll hear more from Mike Shanahan, Rod Smith, John Lynch, Jake Plummer. And, you know, I think this is a great time for you to share your perspective. Everybody seems to have a little bit of a story. 303-713-1043. This is The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.